Namaste, everyone. Welcome to the Charvak podcast. This is your host, Kushal Mehra. Today, we are going to talk about a book. The book is called What If There Was No Congress? The Uncensored History of Independent India. And to chat with us, we have the author of the book, Priyam Gandhi Modi. She's a Gandhi and a Modi, so she's qualified to talk about the Congress and the BJP both. So welcome, Priyam. First of all, congratulations. This is your fourth book. And I think we are discussing your second or third book. Which one are we discussing?
We're discussing the second book, but we had two discussions during the last one.
Yeah. So first of all, congratulations. So now that you have written four books in 5 years, as you were telling me, how do you feel as an author or as a writer? From book one to, let's say, book four, has your style changed or has anything changed from that perspective?
Yeah. So I definitely think that my writing has gotten much more crisper, in the sense that I don't beat around the bush anymore in trying to make a certain point. Second, I've realized that, especially on the topic that I write, there's like lots of controversial information. So it is best to put references on the same page. Otherwise, it just gets really confusing, you know, for the lawyers to do a legal check and for the publishers to do a legal check. And I wasted months in putting together references. So that is a very big issue. So that I have learned. And I think the third philosophical takeaway from this is that the pen is indeed mightier than the sword.
But I'll share my experience as a podcaster. Yeah. So when I started, by the way, horrifying. I went and started looking at my first few podcasts, I was like, oh my God, I can't even bear myself. How horrible I am in there. So over the years, the more you do something, they say you usually get better at that craft, whether it's writing or speaking. So I was maybe looking at that from that perspective. So do you feel more confident now when you write? Like maybe the researching is easier or that kind of stuff?
Yes, I do. I kind of just sort of naturally know what type of resources to look at and where I will find a lot of information that I want to write about. So I definitely feel more confident, but I want to also try and give you another negative, honest answer that I don't know if it is the age or the speed at which I write, or I don't know what it is, but I still don't feel like a serious writer. Like, I don't feel that my work is taken as seriously as it should be, despite churning out some very serious books. So I don't know. I don't have enough gray hair, I guess, yet.
You know, you can go, people dye their hair black, and aajkal to waise bhi multiple colors ka fashion, you should consider. So the white strands of hair.
Yeah, because people who have like 4, 5, 6 books, you know, they are usually fossilized folks.
That is such a nice way of seeing your budde uncle auntie.
So I feel when I take books to people and say this is my fourth book or whatever, and plus it's four books, plus a lot of them have been translated in multiple languages as well. So when I have a stack of books, it's about 8 or 9 books. So when I take that, I usually give gifts. I give a big stack of my books as gifts, so I never have to buy gifts for people. So when I give them these gifts, you know, they're like, oh, okay, take care, you write, whatever, good for you, good going, congratulations. That's pretty much it. Like, it's never taken with the kind of seriousness that I feel that a lot of other people who have this much work are taking.
I actually will back you up on this. I am a nerd. I read on average 50 books every year now. So for me, this is like second nature. In fact, I respect authors probably in the Indian podcasting landscape, I'm the only one who covers the maximum number of books and does that. And which is why publishers love me the most, because they're like, you're the only guy who covers books consistently. You know, there are others who will hop onto a popular book bandwagon. Yeah. There are others who will be like, isse clicks mil rahe hain, to main iske bare mein baat karta hun. Mera completely opposite. मैं कंसिस्टेंटली बुक्स कवर करता हूँ, सो मेरे पास उल्टा होता है, मेरे पास ऑथर्स कंसिस्टेंटली आते हैं क्योंकि बोलते नहीं ये तो नोन बुक कवर करने वाला है. बट सैम हैरिस का मैं एग्जांपल देता हूँ. सैम हैरिस इज अ वेरी पॉपुलर गाय, वेरी वेल नोन गाय, यू नो ही स्टार्टेड ऑफ एज अ बुक ऑथर एंड नाउ इट्स बीन एजेस सिंस सैम हैरिस हैज रिटन अ बुक एंड ही हिमसेल्फ ही हैज अ वेरी बिग पॉडकास्ट ऑल्सो नाउ which is called Making Sense Podcast. And he, in one of his podcast sessions, has said that since my podcast has come up, I have stopped writing is because the impact, quote, of that medium nowadays in terms of audiences is very alluring. And even a guy like Sam Harris, who's such a prolific author at one point of time, has gone into the other side. So I'm actually very glad that you've stuck to the writing genre, because in today's video audio world, having, you know, a lot of people think main 10 minute ka video bana do, 15 minute ka video bana do, 30 minutes ka video banao, and I, which is why I asked you, because I was following your work, right? I've been consistently following what books you've written and all of that. So I was actually very happy, and I'm actually proud of the fact that you're beating the trend, because you just cannot explain things in 15 minutes. You need to write a damn book. You cannot.
And also, I've thought about this a lot, Kushal. Like, I put in serious thought into this. And I genuinely believe that good films and good books are the only two means that can give the kind of longevity that can last even after you die. Okay, in terms of the message, not in terms of your own fame, in terms of the message that you're trying to convey. So yes, podcasting is, while having said that, I feel like the other mediums that are out there, like, you know, podcasting is there and writing opinion pieces is there and making OTT shows and etc. There are lots of things now, you know, reels, etc. It's all great. It's very, very nice. It helps you build the mood in like a large chunk of people, you know, build opinion. But I feel that if you want your message to last 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, then I feel that it's just films and books that can do that.
So now about the book, why this title? You know, at one point I was like, did Priyam think of the title when she was listening to John Lennon's Imagine, there's no country, no religion. So like, she just added one extension, Imagine there's no Congress.
I'll be really honest with this. So I thought of this in 2022, and this is when I was still doing a lot of the tours for the COVID situation that I had written about last time. I was still traveling a lot. I was still following the Prime Minister's work a lot. And while I was following his work, he gave one really fiery speech in the Parliament saying, Congress na hoti, to ye nahi hota, Congress na hoti, to wo nahi hota. It took like a nice 10-minute, very, very fiery speech. And I said, hey, wait, did Mahatma Gandhi say something like this too? That Congress nahi honi chahiye? And and I think in his speech he also says that Mahatma Gandhi ki ichha ke anusar Congress na hoti to blah blah blah. So I said, interesting. So I said, let me just write a book to expand on whatever he's saying, and see why two people who are perhaps the most popular leaders that our country has ever seen, Mahatma Gandhi and Prime Minister Modi, if their thoughts sort of intersect at one point, then it does need some thinking. So that's where the book came about, and that's where the title for, I borrowed it from the Prime Minister's speech, Congress Na Hoti To. So the English one is still What If There Was No Congress, but the Hindi one is exactly that, Congress Na Hoti To.
So now with a book like this, in hindsight, Now, if somebody comes back to you, you know, somebody from, let's say, the Congress, let's say the National Herald reviews your book, and the National Herald tells you, well, Priyam Gandhi Modi has written this book, What If There Is No Congress, but she has only picked out the flaws in all, or the quote flaws or supposed flaws, as per her point of view, of what the Congress has done. But the Congress has done many correct things also. How would you respond to that?
In my view, I wanted to highlight the portions that impact national security even today. And that's essentially what the book does. The only sections that I've taken and that I've gone into are sections that have caused major, massive national security issues for us, and which continue to be national security issues for us. So, you know, that is a little bit of content about the book. Yes, I do get a lot of these questions that, you know, humne bahut acha kaam kiya hai, toh aapne aisa kyun likha hai. But again, like, you know, I think I don't want to beat around the bush. I'll be pretty honest that this is my ideological stand. I believe in this ideology. I am unapologetic about it. I don't like the Congress. I will never like them. I think
neither
that they
do
have caused, I mean, they have caused national security issues for us. Like, we are in this big bad neighborhood at this point in time because the Congress had put us in this big bad neighborhood. It wasn't going to be as bad if they didn't mishandle the situation so badly. So, yeah, so my ideology is permanent and I don't feel ashamed to write about it. So, okay. And the next thing is that it's not like the Congress and their ecosystem haven't written their side of the story over and over. I mean, come on, they put it in history textbooks over the years. You know, they pack institutions with those kinds of minds to influence the next generation and the next generation with that kind of thinking, you know. So, I mean, it's about time that the other side and people like me who are completely unapologetic about being on this side, write about it.
You know, see, I don't want to focus much on the scams and scandals bit. I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because a lot of scams that you have written, some of the scams I do want to talk about, but only the scams till 1975. Because see, popular memory, since buffers, right? We know buffers, we know 2G. Average Indian bachche ko buffers, 2G, Commonwealth games. You remember those expensive toilet tissue rolls costing 10,000, 15,000. Wo sab pata hai. But I want to go into the latter half of the book. Then I will come to the pre-partition bit. So talk about the scams before buffers, especially Jeep scam ke bare mein batao, 1948 wala. Kisi ko malum nahi hoga ki Nehru ke time se scam ho rahe the.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, see, first of all, Krishna Menon was a really shady character. Not only was he was being groomed by the KGB because they thought he's going to be Nehru's successor. Okay, so the KGB thought that he's going to be our man and they were grooming him. So, he was obviously working at their behest. Second, he was making deals with the Viceroy, Mountbatten, that mere se ye karao, main ye karne ko ready ho, main aise Nehru ji ko influence karne ko ready ho, in exchange for making me High Commissioner. So, you know, he is a shady fellow, you know. Now, he got that post. He influenced Nehru on a certain important matter and he got the post of the High Commissioner in London. Because Mountbatten gave it to him. This was a transactional thing. Now, as High Commissioner, obviously he looked at it as a cow to milk, that post. And he made this Jeep transaction. He bought Jeeps for our armed forces. Now, I'm not going to get into the numbers because I'll have to open the book and sort of look at the highlights and get into the numbers of it. But I'll tell you essentially what the essence of this was, that he bought Jeeps, which were supposed to be brand new Jeeps. But when they arrived, they were not only not working, but they were also refurbished Jeeps and not even all of them arrived. And the middle the company that he bought them from, they were agents. They were not the direct manufacturers of the Jeep. So that company went MIA. So then, after India paying all of that money, so then they क्लैमर्ड एंड फाउंड अनदर एजेंट या सो इस बीच में इवेंचुअली वी गॉट बेयरली लाइक सिंगल डिजिट परसेंट ऑफ द टोटल जीप्स दैट वी ऑर्डर्ड बाय वी एंड मी इन इंडिया एंड दोज ऑल्सो डिडंट वर्क एंड दे वर इन सच बैड कंडीशन दैट द आर्म्ड फोर्सेस रिफ्यूज टू एक्सेप्ट देम सो दिस वॉज अ बिग स्कैम इंक्वायरी भी बिठाई थी एंड इंक्वायरी हुई भी एंड ऑब्वियसली पंडित जी क्लोज द इंक्वायरी डाउन प्रीमैच्योरली एंड देन डिस्पाइट डूइंग सच अ बिग स्कैम ही वॉज मेड कृष्णा मेनन वॉज मेड द डिफेंस मिनिस्टर ऑफ इंडिया by Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru. Big mistake because in 62 he had a very big role to play in the 62 war as well. And why our military wasn't prepared, why our army wasn't prepared, why the you know aircrafts that he had bought from Russia did not come on time. So he had a big role to play in that.
Yeah. Now the thing about this scam chapter, as I was going through it, what it reminded me of is how systematically, you know, we talk about Godi media. I was trying to dig up archives. You know, ki ye scam ka kya hua? Bofors got a lot of coverage under the media. So there, I will not say that the media did not cover Bofors, blah, blah, blah. वो सब नहीं था. They did, वो लोग ने cover किया. मगर I was trying to, you know, सी की अच्छा इसके पहले अगर कोई स्कैम होते थे आई वॉज स्ट्रगलिंग टू फाइंड अ लॉट ऑफ थिंग्स लाइक सो लाइक आई वांटेड टू कंफर्म दिस फ्रॉम यू लाइक डिड यू आल्सो फाइंड द सेम प्रॉब्लम्स व्हेन यू वर रिसर्चिंग
यस यस एंड सी इवन इवन इन इंफॉर्मेशन व्हिच इज एज लेट एज जस्ट प्री बोफोर्स आल्सो There was a struggle of finding that information. Like, for example, the Bofors scam became such a big deal. Yeah, it happened on that scale. Yes, everything okay. But just before that, Indira Gandhi also was in a mess because of the submarine purchases. You know, so there are these Hindi papers that very few Hindi papers and Hindi channels that covered this Dubdubi scam. That's what they called it, the submarine scam. So Rajiv Gandhi tried to cover this up. And, you know, that's when in that backdrop, Bofors happened. He was already under attack that Indira Gandhi had purchased these submarines. She had compromised on the quality, like that they couldn't go as deep as they that the armed forces had asked for and all of that. So Rajiv was defending his mother's, you know, stance. And in that backdrop is when the Bofors deal happened, when all eyes were anyway on him. So, which is why it became, you know, so popular in the media.
I want to read this bit from your Teja scam. This was priceless. The Teja scam. I mean, I was like, kya scam hai? So this is the Teja scandal, 1966. I'm going to read a small excerpt from the book. Jayanti Dharma Teja was a scientist and shipping magnate who enjoyed a very close relationship with the Nehru-Gandhi family. She was first introduced to Nehru at a high-profile party in Delhi as someone who had returned to India after pursuing a prestigious scientific career abroad. He instantly became a part of Nehru's close group of businessmen to the likes of J.R.D. Tata, G.D. Birla and Ramakrishna Dalmia. Teja promised Nehru to revolutionize the Indian shipping industry, for which he was given a huge loan of 20 crore. It may be interesting to note that so far Teja had no demonstrable experience or even any particular interest in shipping. As per a report, when the loan was requested, Nehru had allegedly instructed his cabinet, and this is the, I mean, kya style hai? Thoda kuch de do. So Nehru instructs his cabinet, thoda kuch de do. And the little something translated into the Indian government investing 20 crores as a loan to him. Teja brought on board Dutch engineers and the Japanese giant Mitsubishi, and by late 1962, Jayanti Shipping controlled 40% of India's shipping, Following the success, Teja made attempts to diversify into the thermal power industry but failed. He and his business partners in Jayanti Shipping Corporation absconded, evading taxes worth crores of rupees, leading the Indian government on a wild goose chase around the globe to recover the money. If there was ever a classic case of crony socialism of India, I think this just fits the bill. This is so apropos.
And I think there's a section in the book where I've also written for people to get an idea of how Pandit Nehru chose his men. After he was impressed and chose Teja at the party, not only did he tell his cabinet ki aap de do inko, aur matlab 20 crore de do aur pura shipping industry bhi fir inke haath mein de do types, but in that 1962 period, especially during the war, I think within a year or so, Teja was asked by the Prime Minister of India to make trips to Russia to negotiate this, why the MiGs are not coming on time, when will they come, to make that deal, all of that. So he was part of the Krishna Menon Pandit Nehru circle and also was doing these diplomatic type activities without really holding an official diplomatic position.
Yeah, it's fascinating that people, I don't think so, a lot of people even must have heard, which is why I wanted to start with the scandals where people, I think people of India ought to know. And as they say, people who don't know their history, whether political or cultural, are just doomed to be perished as a society. And this is the systemic control of information dissemination in India, which is why I had to do that entire Godi Media monologue where I explained ki, I mean, I vote for the BJP. I don't care. BJP doesn't run my house. I have been very critical of them on multiple occasions. So when somebody says, na, suddenly after 2018-19, Godi Media, I was like, sirf Godi badal gayi bhai, tum log mein se aur kuch nahi hua hai, sirf gayi. Pehle wo Godi idhar thi, ab wo Godi idhar aa gayi hai. That's all that has changed. The media has a much bigger problem. But now, let's go to the first one. Again, this was such a beautiful historical bit, because this bit, most people will not know, because they always know the later voting where, again, Patel was voted more by the... Go ahead. You wanted to make a point.
So I'll add one more piece of information to this since we are talking about Teja here. That he also financed whatever little of Sanjay Gandhi's education in London. And he also got in the internship at the car manufacturing company, which Sanjay Gandhi couldn't complete. Sanjay Gandhi could not complete the internship that Teja got him, financed his living, etc., and made internship, bounced, and came back.
This is also so apropos for this entire family and the clan. I mean, this is a classical thing that they do. It's such a wonderful. This country was run by these people for so many years, and we would just be like, "Ha ha, sehlenge thoda." But now I want to go to the early bit of the book. Again, why I loved this bit was when you talk about pop cultural political history, right? Everybody will talk about Azadi ke baad ya Azadi ke pehle kaun banega pradhanmantri ka vote hua tha aur tabhi sabne Patel ko diya tha, ek Nehru ne ek ko mila tha, magar Gandhi ji ne override kiya. That is not fun. This is fun in your book where you have written, in 1928 too, Motilal Nehru had renewed his efforts for his son, but the Congress leaders insisted that Motilal be the president instead, which was what ended up happening. In 1929, however, when Jawaharlal's name finally came up for presidency, the two other contenders were Gandhi and Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel. Jawaharlal won 3 votes, Patel won 5, and Gandhi won 10. On being declared elected, Gandhi resigned and pushed for Jawaharlal to lead. Gandhi ji, yahan pe bhi setting chalu Gandhi ji ki. This was the first but not the last time when Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel had to yield power to Jawaharlal on Gandhi's behest. The second time was in 1936, just a year before the general elections were scheduled in India. Despite coming to a consensus that the party would vote in Patel on the eve of the presidential elections, Gandhi summoned Patel and pleaded with him to withdraw his candidacy and support Jawaharlal's instead. So basically 1928 से 29 से तो गांधी जी ने जवाहरलाल नेहरू को ऐसे अपने ऊपर उठा उठा के चलाया था. So मतलब इंटरनल पार्टी में भी इनको कोई खड़ा नहीं करता था, which is why I was like, वो आगे वाले की बात नहीं करनी है, इस वाले की बात करनी है. So honestly, did you before researching this knew about this particular vote?
No, I didn't know. And I found this golden piece of information in a book called Bose and Nehru, or Nehru and Bose, or something like that. It's a small book. It's a black color book. There is a Bengali author. Parallel Lives, I think it's called. Parallel Lives, Netaji and Pandit, something, Bose and Nehru, or Nehru and Bose, something like that. I think I have a reference of that in the book. I've added it. But when I read it in that, I was shocked. And that book also gives a lot of very interesting insight. Because then, देखो, natural question ये होता है कि ऐसा क्यों किया गांधी जी ने. मतलब अगर ऐसे उठा उठा कर चलाना पड़ा किसी को, तो किया क्यों? What was his compulsion? Right? Like I wanted to understand the mind of Mahatma also, that why? Like why did he pick him? Like क्या obsession था ऐसा? And I realized that, yeah, okay, Motilal Nehru was a big financier and uske bete ko tum thoda, wo jab tak zinda hai, tab tak aap chadao, to theek hai, hota hai. But after Motilal Nehru died, if you see the letters that are exchanged between Pandit Nehru and Mahatma Gandhi, the vibe of those letters is, you know what, Pandit ji is telling Mahatma Gandhi that ab mere pitaji nahi rahe, आप मेरे पिता समान हैं, मुझे तो राजनीति करनी ही नहीं है, आप बोलते हैं इसलिए मैं करता हूँ. यू नो, इफ यू आर नॉट होल्डिंग मी, आई डोंट वांट टू डू पॉलिटिक्स, आई वांट टू गिव इट अप, यू आर माय एवरीथिंग. यू नो, इट वाज लाइक अ वेब ऑफ इमोशनल ब्लैकमेल.
But yeah, you are right. The book is, I think, Rudrangshu Mukherjee, Nehru and Bose Parallel Lives. It is by Penguin House. So it's a Penguin House book. But yeah, when I read this, I was like, damn, I didn't know this. 1928 mein bhi ye hua tha. And it's fascinating that, listen, this family... And its takeover of the Congress and the entire party itself, because, I mean, again, how, you know, this is a very interesting thing. So, taking you back to the first hypothetical where I played the role of a congressman. Now, there are a few congressmen who actually you praise a lot in this book. You are not antagonistic in that sense to Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel. People forget he was a congressman. Lal Bahadur Shastri, you're not antagonistic to him. In fact, I've noticed somewhere in the middle of the book when economic reforms come, you're not even nasty to, I think, Dr. Manmohan Singh or Narasimha Rao in that sense. You know, you're pretty balanced in that. But why is it that congressmen only take offense? See, I'll ask you. I've given you four names that you have praised in the book as congressmen. You're like, nahi, ye to theek kaam kar rahe the. ये लोग हमेशा अच्छा ही करते थे इन दैट सेंस. व्हाई डू यू थिंक सो व्हेन डू यू थिंक इन योर रिसर्च वेयर यू केम अक्रॉस वेयर द स्ट्रैंगल होल्ड ऑफ द फैमिली ऑन द कांग्रेस वाज लाइक आयरन टाइट, लाइक नो स्कोप लेफ्ट.
ओके, आई विल आंसर दिस क्वेश्चन, बट ओके फाइन, लेट्स गेट इनटू दिस वन देन. आई थिंक after Panditji got Indira to stay with him and made her the Congress president, and as Congress president, when she started to shake and dismantle democratically elected governments in states, and he allowed all of that, that's when I thought that this is it. So the point I wanted to make about the last section that we spoke about Gandhiji and Panditji's relationship, is also that hum bolte hai ki wahi bogi ko push kar kar ke Mahatma Gandhi brought him to that point where he made him the prime minister of the country. But see, the national security compromises were so large दैट विद इन 1 year महात्मा गांधी और गांधी ऑल्सो रियलाइज कि ये हमने कुछ गलत किया है. एंड जस्ट बिफोर ही डाइड ही रोट अ प्रेटी लॉन्ग पीस अबाउट हाउ कांग्रेस शुड बी डिस्बैंडेड, हाउ इट शुड बी टर्न इन टू लोक सेवा संघ, हाउ दैट लोक सेवा संघ विच इज अ सोशल सर्विस ऑर्गेनाइजेशन, हाउ इट शुड बी स्ट्रक्चर्ड एट द विलेज लेवल, यू नो, एट एवरी लेवल एज इन. So he gave a pretty detailed how do you sermon कि ऐसा होना चाहिए कांग्रेस को डिसबैंड करके, बिकॉज उन्होंने देखा ना, ही सॉ द 1 year ऑफ पंडित जी प्राइम मिनिस्टरशिप एंड ऑल द कॉम्प्रोमाइजेस दैट ही मेड विथ रिगार्ड्स टू कश्मीर, विथ रिगार्ड्स टू अमेरिकनाइजिंग द कंट्री एक्सेट्रा.
All right. So now you focus a lot on the partition. Now here is somewhere now you say like, do you think it's fair to pin the partition on the Congress? Do you think it's fair? Don't you think it
Yes.
was inevitable?
Yes. No. I mean, yes. Okay, fine. Partition, yes, it was inevitable, but there is evidence, and this is not from Indian records, this is from British records. The British have said this, that even if we gave a matchbox size Pakistan to Muhammad Ali Jinnah, he would be okay with it. There was absolutely no need to give him amount of land that we have given him without total exchange of population. Second, we had a lot of bargaining chips that we did not use when we were on the table. For instance, the Gilgit-Baltistan area where the Brits were running न्यूक्लियर स्टेशंस, बिकॉज एवरीबडी वॉज इन द रेस फॉर द एटम बॉम्ब. सिंकियांग उधर बॉर्डर एरिया में यूरेनियम माइनिंग हो रहा था, उधर ही टेस्टिंग करती थी सोवियट्स ऑल्सो, तो एवरीबडी वॉज इन द रेस फॉर द एटम बॉम्ब तब 30s में. हम अगर यही टेबल पे रख के नेगोशिएट कर सकते कि आपको सिर्फ ये एरिया चाहिए ना, आपको आपके स्टेशन चलाने हैं, राइट? यू वांट योर नेटवर्क टू बी एक्टिव, यू वांट दैट डेटा, यू वांट टू पुट इट बैक, गिव इट बैक टू योर कंट्री, यू वांट दिस एरिया, राइट? ओके, वी विल गिव यू दिस एरिया ऑन अ लॉन्ग लीज, ऑन अ 99 ईयर, 100 ईयर, 200 ईयर लीज, वी विल गिव इट टू यू इन एक्सचेंज फॉर कटिंग डाउन पाकिस्तान टू साइज जियोग्राफिक, लिटरली. वी कुड हैव नेगोशिएटेड दैट इजीली. The other negotiation we could have had, we had another very big bargaining chip with us, and which was that the provincial government in Northwest Frontier Province was a Congress government. जब पार्टीशन के वक्त ये मतलब डिसाइड हो रहा था कि आपको भारत से जुड़ना है या यू वांट टू गो विद पाकिस्तान, द इलेक्टेड रिप्रेजेंटेटिव्स हैड टू वोट. द इलेक्टेड रिप्रेजेंटेटिव्स वर कांग्रेस रिप्रेजेंटेटिव्स, दे वुड हैव वोटेड टू जॉइन इंडिया. बट फॉर देम रूल बदला गया कि उस इलाके के लिए हम प्लेबिसाइट करेंगे, यू नो, एंड देन खान, अब्दुल गफर खान, द गांधी दैट ही वाज, ही सेड नहीं, हम तो प्लेबिसाइट में हमारा डालेंगे ही नहीं, वी विल नॉट कंटेस्ट, वी विल नॉट पुट आवर नेम ऑल्सो. तो वी तो हैंडेड नॉर्थ वेस्ट फ्रंटियर प्रोविंस टू पाकिस्तान ऑन अ प्लेटर. सो दीज वर वेरी स्ट्रॉन्ग bargaining chips. This is what they wanted. They wanted that access to Central Asia. They wanted that access to the Middle East, and all of that. The Northwest Frontier Province is a very important chunk of land, you know, that we should have used as a bargaining chip to cut Pakistan down to size. So yes, the responsibility and the accountability of partition goes to the Congress. And yes, Sardar Patel was also in favor of that decision. Yes, the rest of the Congress leadership was also in favor of that decision. But essentially, that decision was made by Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru when he went to Shimla with the Viceroy and his wife.
You talk about the grip the Viceroy and his wife had on Pandit Nehru. Now you rely on that one book. Wo kaun si piece hai naam hai? I forgot the name of the gentleman or the lady, Patricia or something. What was that book you rely on about?
There are two books. One is The Last Days of the British Raj.
Yeah.
And that is one. And the other, for this piece of information about the relationship and the dynamic between the Mountbattens and Nehru, the Mountbatten, Hicks, but Pamela Hicks, Mountbatten's great granddaughter, I guess, she has written about it as well. She has written about it. It is in her book. I have directly quoted from her book that my father would often tell my mother. Yeah, she's the daughter of the Mountbatten. She's written in her book that my father would often tell my mother that please see on difficult issues like Kashmir. She's written Kashmir also. That please see if you can convince Jawaharlal about this.
Yeah, so I want to read this bit like in totality. I want to read. In fact, so overpowering and crucial was Edwina's role in influencing Nehru's thoughts from this point forward that her daughter Pamela Hicks in her personal accounts revealed the deep love that Edwina and Nehru had for each other. She confessed that her mother had several lovers in the past and that did upset her father terribly, but her father had became quite friendly with Nehru. Okay, I don't know what's going on with these three people, but it's very interesting. Pamela went on to say that with her father so busy, her mother was often lonely, and so was Nehru, who had been a widower for over a decade by now. The famous fable has it that every night at 2 a.m., Nehru would write an incredibly romantic letter to Edwina, revealing his deepest feelings and insecurities coupled with the tender language of a lover. It is understood that a stack of these letters were found by Edwina's bedside when she died. As Pamela put it, often with regard to policies, her father would state his opinion in conversation with Nehru, but it would be Edwina who would drive the point home by playing to his emotions and deeply influencing his being. Pamela reiterated that the relationship between Edwina and Nehru was very useful to her pragmatist father. Often, when it was particularly tricky to get Nehru's consent, Lord Mountbatten would say to Edwina, "Do try to get Jawaharlal to see that this is terribly important." Now, I personally have been very clear that I don't care what a politician does in his or her personal life. Man, listen, man or woman, if you're having consensual sex, I don't give a shit about it. But the reason I read this bit is that I care for what happens to my country. That's why I care about this. I don't give a shit, man, woman or man, go have sex with the whole world for all I care. I don't care. Here, this man Mountbatten was like, "Acha, chal Edwina ko bhejte hain. Ye sala to udhar hi patega." So this is very dangerous that our honorable prime minister was basically, I was like, okay, you gotta get shit done. Go to Project Edwina. I mean, what the hell?
See, I'll give you more information about this. I think I've written a little bit about it in the book, but if you go into the sources that I have referred to, it essentially says that Mountbatten was such a workaholic person in life and such a social climber that he had almost become like asexual. So his colleagues used to say that about him. He had become asexual because he was a crazy workaholic. Okay, so which is why perhaps he did not have a problem if his wife chose to entertain herself with whatever she liked. But because he didn't care, he said, "Abhi karne hi wali hai, toh matlab might as well use it to our advantage."
That's how things roll in this great country. Now I want to focus on the one bit that
sorry,
I don't know.
Sorry to cut you off. There's one more portion in this relationship, in this angle, which is why I call it the Nehru Mountbatten axis. क्योंकि सिर्फ ये तीन जन का नहीं है, इसमें इंदिरा भी involved है.
Yeah.
There is involvement of Indira ji also. I don't know in what context some of these authors have written about it, but they've said that not only, so the two women influencing Pandit ji for Edwina at that point in time. And second was his daughter, and his daughter was getting influenced by another man, by the communications head of Mountbatten's team. Some of these authors have said that he was a regular at the Nehru breakfast table. And he would influence Indira. कभी सुबह को उठ के आता था कि मतलब क्या है वो, दिस नो क्लैरिटी, बट ही हैड अ वेरी क्लोज रिलेशनशिप विद इंदिरा. ही वुड कन्विंस इंदिरा रेगुलरली एट द नेहरू ब्रेकफास्ट टेबल अबाउट वॉट एवर दे नीडेड टू कन्विंस हर. सो शी वुड देन इन टर्न कन्विंस हर फादर, एंड देन एडविना वुड डू द सेम थिंग.
It's just messed up. So, you know, for people who don't understand that, so I'll read the references. Pamela Mountbatten, India remembered a personal account of the Mountbattens during the transfer of power. This is by Pavilion Books, London, 2007. This is on page 18. For those who want to know the page number also, this is on page 18. Then Leonard Mosley, The Last Days of the British Raj. This is Harcourt, Brace and World Inc., New York, 1961, page 102. And on CNN IBN, Pamela Mountbatten on 22nd July 2007 has actually given an interview where she basically says this, right?
To Karan Thapar.
So basically, that these are the places. Now, why these things matter is because people don't realize that recently, I'll tell you why. Recently, there was this scientist who was busted in Maharashtra. I don't know if you remember the news. He was honey trapped by the Pakistanis. And that scientist gave away Indian secrets. And there was so much of a hullabaloo in this country. Look at what the government is doing. And by the way, it was a fair criticism if you ask me. Yo, the government better watch out. The scientist is sleeping around with random Pakistanis and giving them my state secrets. I care. इधर तो आई केयर, मतलब इधर तो प्राइम मिनिस्टर इज ओनली डूइंग दैट.
तो प्राइम मिनिस्टर एंड हिज डॉटर वर हनी ट्रैप्ड.
सो आई मीन हाउ द हेल एम आई नॉट सपोज टू केयर अबाउट दिस? इट्स रिडिकुलस. इट्स एब्सोल्यूटली बैट शिट क्रेजी दैट पीपल थिंक, ओ कुशल तुम क्या ये सब बातें कर रहे हो, ये सब तुमको शोभा देता है. अबे बिल्कुल बात करनी चाहिए, ये चीजें मैटर करती हैं. एंड एंड शुक्र करो मुझे तो पॉलिटिशियंस के बारे में इतना गंध पता है, मैं तो कुछ भी नहीं बोलता हूँ.
Yeah, so when I was writing these sections, it was very difficult for me to clean up the language in which I was writing it, because we were writing, I mean, I was writing about two prime ministers of our country. So how do you write about all of this without using the word sex, honey trap, affair?
Yeah, basically. I mean, and listen, we have to talk about this. He's the freaking prime minister,
What
or
happened?
to be prime. I mean, what the hell? What am I supposed to just shut up about it, not care about it? And now people will be like, oh, I can tell you stories about other prime ministers in India. My answer, even there, would be the same, you muppet. My answer would be the same even there.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. But now I want to focus on something very important. Very few people, again, see, it would have been fashionable if I would have told you to talk about Bofors, 2G, Gandhi, ye wo. No, I want to take about, which is why I spoke about scams that maybe. Now, this is one thing I know a lot of young kids may not know about. So, these are eight prominent industrialists, academicians, thinkers of that time in 1944 and 45, namely J.R.D. Tata, G.D. Birla, Sir Ardheshir Dalal, Lala Shriram, Kasturbhai Lalbhai, D. Shroff, John Mathai, and Purushottam Das Thakur Das. They had given a proposal in two parts, which was called a brief memorandum outlining a plan of economic development for India, which was also famously called the Bombay Line Plan. Okay, yeah, political nerds might know this, but Priyam, tell what the Bombay Plan proposed and then tell what the actual government did, and then बाकी तो हमारी जिंदगी वैसे ही झंड है, तो बाकी उसका फाइनल रिजल्ट तो लोगों को वैसे ही दिख गया है।
सो द बॉबी प्लैट एसेंशियली इन शॉर्ट बेसिकली सिंस इट वाज अ मिक्स ऑफ एडमिनिस्ट्रेटिव माइंड्स एंड द टॉप बिजनेसमैन ऑफ आवर कंट्री हु केयर्ड अबाउट द ग्रोथ ऑफ आवर कंट्री हाउ द कंट्री एंड द इकोनॉमी शुड बी रन आफ्टर द कंट्री बिकम्स फ्री सो दे गॉट टुगेदर एंड दे प्रपोज दिस हाउ टू सेट अप इंडस्ट्री हाउ इंडस्ट्री कैन ड्राइव ग्रोथ फिर वो ग्रोथ ड्राइव करके जो पैसा आएगा वो गरीबों को कैसे जाना चाहिए इट वॉज अ प्रॉपर प्लान विच वॉज नॉट कैपिटलिस्ट इट वॉजन टोटली सोशलिस्ट इट वॉज अ गुड कॉम्बिनेशन इट वॉज वेल थॉट आउट एंड इट वॉज थॉट आउट बाई सम ऑफ आवर स्मार्टेस्ट इकोनॉमिक माइंड्स लेकिन वो प्लान आया उसी वक्त पंडित जी वॉज गेटिंग वेरी वेरी इन्फ्लुएंस बाय हाउ द सोवियट्स रन द इकोनॉमी एंड ही गॉट जेलस ऑफ दिस पीपल कमिंग आउट विद दिस बॉम्बे प्लान He didn't like the publicity that they were getting. He didn't like the acceptability that the Bombay plan was getting. Or essentially, मतलब वो kill कर दिया उस Bombay plan को. Let's put it that way, kill. And in turn, it's not like he put in an another group of really smart people in place to give another alternate option of how the economy should be run with a combination कि industry को कैसे drive करो और गरीबों को फिर उसपे से पैसा आप कैसे इट वाजंट दैट ही लिटरली जस्ट सेड कैपिटलिज्म इज रॉन्ग इंडस्ट्री इज रॉन्ग कैपिटलिज्म इज अ बैड वर्ड प्रॉफिट इज अ बैड वर्ड नोबडी शुड बी डूइंग बिजनेस एंड मेकिंग मनी इन दिस कंट्री ओनली गवर्नमेंट शुड बी डूइंग बिजनेस एंड डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग द मनी टू द पीपल और उस हिसाब से उन्होंने इकोनॉमी को स्ट्रक्चर किया
So how did what were the after effects of that? Now I think I would give some credit to Nehru. I think the IITs and a bit of things. Okay, I understand there.
What
I think
IIT?
Credit.
Kuch on one IIT.
जो एक मतलब कुछ तो दिया उसने. We have very low standards, you see, in this country. प्रियम इज लाइक कुशल अगर तू मेरे सामने होता ना तो मैं तुझे नोच लूं
आई एम ग्लैड वी आर डूइंग दिस डिजिटली एक आईआईटी और एक एक मतलब हॉस्पिटल गया उन्होंने कंट्री को मतलब आज उनके स्पोक्स पर्सन इतना चिल्ला चिल्ला कर बोलते हैं कि प्राइवेट पंडित जी कितने विजनरी थे आईआईटी तो हमने दिया है एम्स तो हमने दिया है एक दिया है भाई एक
बट Okay, I'll give Nehru one credit. Okay, the Hindu Code Bill. वो उसमें मैं उसको credit दूंगा. जमींदारी निकालने का भी I think sensible. Look at Pakistan. उन्होंने आज तक जमींदारी नहीं निकाली. वो मतलब अभी now you will see क्या तुम्हारा standard Pakistan है नहीं मेरा standard Pakistan ही. I'm just saying few right things were done. But as far as Nehruvian socialism is concerned, like what was his like? Okay. बड़े मियाँ तो बड़े मियाँ तो मगर डॉटर ने भी बैंड बजा दी अब वो नेशनलाइजेशन ऑफ बैंक्स एक बड़ा ही फैसिनेटिंग व्हाई इज इंडिया नेवर डिबेटेड दैट वन फाइन डे इंदिरा गांधी जस्ट वुक अप एंड यू नो नो मोरारजी भाई एंड इंदिरा गांधी बेसिकली द स्प्लिट हैपेंड बिकॉज ऑफ दैट मूव राइट नेशनलाइजेशन ऑफ बैंक्स और वो सब को लेके मोरारजी भाई एंड इंदिरा गांधी स्प्लिट बट ये मतलब ये क्या फैमिली थी इनको सोशलिज्म से इतना प्यार क्या था तुम्हारे रिसर्च में कुड यू फाइंड आउट व्हाट वाज देयर लव फॉर सोशलिज्म
लव फॉर सोशलिज्म तो वो सोवियत से आ रहा था ना तो सोवियत वर होस्टिंग देम दे वर इंदिरा हैड अ वीकनेस अपेरेंटली फॉर हॉट गाइज सो दे वर सराउंडिंग हर विद रियली हॉट मेन या शी इज रिटन अबाउट इट शी इज रिटन इन अ लेटर टू हर फादर आई एम नॉट इन्वेंटिंग दिस इन्फॉर्मेशन सो शी इज रिटन सो द सोवियत वर रियली कोटिंग देम और ये लोग मतलब इन्फैचुएट हो गए उनसे इनको समझ में नहीं आया कि हम गरीब देश है हमारा हम अमीर देश हम अमीर भारतवर्ष थे जिसकी वजह से मतलब सेंचुरी तक हमें लूटा गया लेकिन जब तक अंग्रेज चले गए तब तक तो वी वर मतलब मोस्ट ऑफ आवर वेल्थ हैड बीन लूटेड तो हम गरीब देश थे उस वक्त तो अगर आप if you're not going to set up a system to make and create wealth, then how are you going to distribute that wealth? There's no logic in that. Yeah. So their solution for creating this wealth is a government wealth creating. So I mean, how so essentially that logic, you know, that whether the government cannot do the job of an expert. Like a businessman, the way a businessman and an industry, an industrialist and their ecosystem can create wealth, the government can't do it. Right? So SIUR, which is why all of these public sector companies were set up. Now let's talk about bank nationalization as a little bit of a backdrop of the bank nationalization, which I found interesting when I was writing about it. So hamari itni band baji hui thi in terms of paise. Like we had no money, not even enough to buy food for our people or ensure that there was enough food for our people. So Indira Gandhi went to the American president to ask for loan for food safety, okay, for our people. And I think it was President Lyndon Johnson, I think, at that time when she first went. And Uswa, the New York Times wrote a piece when she was in the United States. Indian Prime Minister comes begging. The loan was given, and there was some, you know, she had to devalue the rupee as part of the transaction as against the loan that was given. And she did it because my paise ki zarurat thi. Now she was getting very attacked by the party that you have moved away from our ideals of socialism. You have gone to capitalist America, because that time capitalist was a bad word, remember. You have gone to capitalist America. Ab capitalist America hamare bare mein aisa likh raha hai, Indian Prime Minister comes begging. Aapne wo bheek ke paise liye hai. Wo bheek ke paise ki wajah se aapne rupee ko devalue kiya hai. So she was under a lot of attack. And she needed to prove her socialist credentials desperately. So in a quick fix move, she nationalized the banks.
Yeah, but I think it was a terrible move. And I don't know why as a country we have never spoken about it. But talking about Americans, can I have to read this bit also. See, when you mention something, then I get reminded, "Arey haan, Priyam ne ye book mein likha tha." I wanted to talk about the Kennedy Nehru bit and how Kennedy found Nehru. This was fantastic, this bit in the book. I had highlighted the whole page. Kennedy's leanings towards India were present despite the inauspicious start to the relationship with Nehru during his first meeting with the latter in 1951. Back then, the former had given a congressman and the U.S. embassy had convinced Nehru to give him an audience. Jacqueline Kennedy recounted that while briefing them, the embassy staff had told Kennedy that, quote, "Whenever Nehru gets bored with you, he taps his fingertips together and looks up at the ceiling." Wow, look at the attention to detail. She added that after only 10 minutes with Kennedy, quote, "Nehru started to look up at the ceiling and began tapping his fingertips." Despite Kennedy's clear leanings demonstrated by helping India against China, Nehru showed no intention of altering his basic policy of non-alignment. Kennedy's promise aid came through in April 1961, $500,000 in development loans and the other $500,000 in food assistance. Despite this, Nehru maintained a stoic distance from the US. It is at this time that he visited Washington, D.C., along with Indira and his cousin Braj Kumar Nehru, who was made India's first ambassador to the US. The visit turned out to be a disaster. Even as President Kennedy engaged him in conversation, Nehru responded in monosyllables or said nothing at all. The US ambassador to India, John Kenneth Galbraith, recounted, quote, "Nehru simply did not respond. Question after question, he answered with monosyllables or a sentence or two. The president found it very discouraging." The American opinion was that, quote, "The meeting convinced him, Kennedy, that Nehru would never be a strong reed on which to rely." Kennedy also told Galbraith later that it was the worst state visit of his presidency and that Nehru seemed more interested in talking with Jackie than with him. Again, I want to read each and every source that you have created. This is Jacqueline Kennedy, Historic Conversations of Life with John F. Kennedy by Hyperion New York. This is 2011. Then John Kenneth Galbraith, Ambassador's Journal, A Personal Account of the Kennedy Year, Houghton Mifflin, Boston, 1969. And Stanley Wolpert, Nehru, A Tryst with Destiny, Oxford. This is 1996. इधर भी भाई हमारा जैकलिन के इसमें इंटरेस्टेड था, मतलब वो
And when Jackie came to India for a visit by herself, okay, and Panditji, in his, when Jackie came see him, he had pictures of both of them on the walls. So
this is such a desi thing to do. I want to impress this girl. Kya karu? Chal, main sara photo laga de.
Oh my god.
So I had Jackie had such a great time because she was treated so well. There were pictures of her in the Prime Minister's house and all of that. There's evidence now that she's saying that I had a great state visit, and she was much touted by international media and US media that Jackie has solved the India-US relationship problem with that visit.
Yeah, I mean, what do I say to such? I mean, this family has given us a kya? Matlab, yaar, tu prime minister hai, tu photo laga piche sabke, aur wo aate hai, unko malum hai, ye to isko to aise hi pata lenge. But at the same time, you have to understand how much of a hatred Nehru had for capitalism, and because of capitalism of America, which is why I wanted to read the whole thing. Like, you know, the one question always asked people. And your book has raised this. What if Sardar Patel was the prime minister? What if he was the prime minister? I definitely feel we may not have been capitalist. We may have been way more, way better than the socialism that Nehru and then Indira practiced all this time. And read these excerpts. You look at the economic policy making of India in its early, early years. And year after year, you know, every time people criticize the Gandhis, Gandhi Nehru family, whatever you want, emergency laga di, ye kar. Manala, emergency to ek hai. Bhai, sabse bada paap to unhone jo socialism kiya na, unhone hamari thok di, puri society ki thok di hamari.
Totally. And if Sardar Patel was prime minister, see, he had a very good hold on how money can be generated for the party. He was the money man of the Congress. He was running the Congress financially. You know, so he knew exactly how to generate money, how to distribute money to candidates. Like, he was the go-to man for that. You know, he had a relationship with all the industrialists. He knew what was needed in the country to, you know, for the country to generate wealth from industry. He knew all of that. So he would have definitely brought in that experience and perspective.
Yeah, which
aur
is...
unhone to bachaya, aur unhone hi to desh ko balkanize hone se bachaya hai. Matlab, Nehru ji ne to 46 mein likh diya tha that India, when the Brits asked him that, you tell us, how do we free you? How do we free India? In a 3,000-page letter, he has written that you divide the country in multiple parts. One part is Pakistan. Let the chota chota princely states make a group and become one, you know, entity in whichever places those small groups are there. Let the bigger princely states like Kashmir, Hyderabad, etc. form different sovereign, you know, nations. So, unka to full plan tha balkanize karne ka ye subcontinent ko.
Do you think Nehru was in such a hurry to be a prime minister, in your assessment? I mean, can we objectively prove that? I don't know. But whenever I have read history, political history and all these kinds of books, I come across only one thing, that Nehru was in such a hurry to be a prime minister that he's like, yaar, bhoot nahi, bhoot ka langoti sahi. तो मतलब पूरा देश नहीं, तो चल जो मिले काट कूट के मैं ले लूं. लाइक ही हैड नो ग्रैंड प्लान, ही जस्ट वांटेड टू बी द प्राइम मिनिस्टर.
एंड व्हाई? बिकॉज ही वांटेड टू शो हिमसेल्फ एज अ ग्लोबल स्टेट्समैन. That is
कौन
the
से
legacy that he desperately wanted to leave behind. और वो legacy leave behind करने के लिए उनको prime minister बनना पड़ता, मतलब that was like the requirement to leave the global statesman legacy behind.
I mean, you know, I definitely don't enjoy this. Like, I've always said this. Like, if I'm outside India, I will still stand up for my prime ministers, even if they are congressmen. Like, I'll stand up for Nehru. Also, I will. But he makes it so hard.
He makes it really so hard.
He makes and it so know, hard. Like, I can defend Dr. Singh. Dr. Manmohan Singh, we can defend. But yeah. Nehru, no.
Yeah. No. And see, I think despite the fact that there was basically, except newspapers and some radio, there was no way to spread information quickly amongst common countrymen. But to realize that by the time Nehru got the third term, his vote share had decreased considerably. So, log bhi samajh gaye. Aisa nahi ki log nahi samjhe. In a time when there was essentially no opposition, you know, Nehru's vote share went down so much because the people of the country realized ki matlab ye to galti ho gayi.
Yeah, I mean, I just like when I was reading your book and it's like, yeah, कैसे होता है ना, कई बार आपको ऐसे दर्द होते हैं, so आप वो दर्द दबा के भूल जाते हो, and then reading your book I was like, हाय हाय, सब कुछ याद आ गया मुझे वापस. सारे दुख दर्द पीड़ा सब कुछ वापस बाहर आ गई. I mean, and the best part, you know, I want to appreciate this while we are recording this, that good thing you have given references for everything. Because what these people do is they wiggle out of it by saying reference kidhar, and good you have given references through books written by family members and through committee reports and many other things and media reporters of that time. Because the biggest thing these days that people do is that they don't give references, which is why a book is powerful. And I want to appreciate that thing, that when you give citations, they can't shut you up. You have citations for everything, which is why even in this podcast, I made sure I read the citations that you have mentioned. I was like, ja, jhagda kar le uske saath. Jisne likha usse jhagda karna, mere piche kya pada hua.
Haan, kyunki main expect kar rahi thi. When I was writing this book, I knew it, that if I don't give citations, the attack that will come my way is like, you are not a historian. Who are you to say this? You are wrong. Easiest way to, you know, to nullify somebody's work. So, I agree, I'm not a historian, but I have collected information that very good historians and family members have written. I have collected information from people from your side of the spectrum, your supporters, you know, today who are your party leaders. I've taken their work and put it in mine and given references. So, I'm not pretending to be a historian. I've just compiled information.
Now let's take a questions for viewers. So I think here is Arun Nehru. What is the story of Arun Nehru name being named falsely for the Masjid gate opening? What is this story?
The Babri, the Tale. So, you know, so interestingly, Manishankar Iyer released a book about a few months ago, where he essentially said Rajiv Gandhi had nothing to do with, you know, Tale Khulne se Rajiv Gandhi, and you know, Arun Nehru got it done. So, essentially that. So, basically they are putting the whole blame on Arun Nehru, that he is the creator of this problem. Rajiv Gandhi did not appease to the Hindu vote bank because of the Shah Bano fallout.
Fair enough. All right. The next question is, what if no MK Gandhi? Here's an idea for the next book.
Interesting.
I think I understand a lot of this, right? People criticizing Gandhiji for a lot of things. I've criticized Gandhiji a lot too. But I think people don't realize that Gandhiji did not put a gun on anybody's head and said, tum ye karo mere liye, tum wo karo mere liye. You know, it was all out in the open. It was a, you know, a jostle, a political jostle for ideas. And Gandhiji won in the end, fair and square. And yes, Gandhiji's mistakes of electing Nehru again and again cost us deeply. Gandhiji and his absurd ideas on non-violence also were there. Gandhiji was an anti-vaxxer, but then Gandhiji also did a lot of good things. Gandhiji and the Pune Pact, what about its impact on the Hindu society, where he had the Pune Pact with Ambedkar? What if Ambedkar would have had his way and would have had separate electorates? What would have happened to the Hindu society in India then? So I think sometimes I think we are unfair to Gandhiji. We should be balanced in our critique.
And we have to give it to... See, we have to admit two things. Gandhiji was the only leader at that time successful in rallying the nation behind one cause. Okay? He had that type of mass appeal. Okay? And second, until now, until we've had Prime Minister Modi, Mahatma Gandhi remains a singular major brand to come out of India. You know, so you have to give it to him that, you know, he was a people's person. He was able to rally people of multiple nationalities behind whatever causes he chose to rally them behind.
Fair enough. What was Mahatma Gandhi's compulsion to bow before the demands or get influenced by Motilal Nehru to push promote Jawaharlal Nehru against Sardar Patel? It was purely because Motilal ji was funding him, or maybe Gandhi ji genuinely liked Jawaharlal Nehru. Sometimes he just liked people, right?
Yeah. It could be, you know, because Jawaharlal Nehru also, you know, he was an Englishman. He said he himself says that I'm the last Englishman to rule India. So he was very like non-Indian-ish. Aisa matlab gora bachcha aa gaya idhar. Usko thoda acclimatize karne mein help karte hai. Usme zara sa I think lagao badh gaya hoga.
Fair enough. All right. So was the political class so ignorant at that time?
Yes. No, not all of them. Some people like Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose, who disagreed with this ignorance that the Congress was sort of, you know, going into loops and loops. He just didn't have the patience for them. He said, "Main apna karunga," and he bounced, you know. And he was able to see the geopolitics of everything, which is why he bounced and which is why he did what he did from outside the country. But as far as Congress is concerned, it was Jawaharlal Nehruji who considered himself as an expert in geopolitics. He has said this many times, and he got everybody to believe that geopolitical decisions or foreign affairs ke decisions to wo hi lenge kyunki wo hi expert hai, kyunki wo angrezi achhi bolte hai.
अच्छा, अंग्रेजी बोलने से आदमी एक्सपर्ट हो जाता
है। तो that was the belief, you know, that's what he made people believe.
Okay, so all right, so एक और क्वेश्चन था, let me find it, that because I like that question, मैं ढूंढ रहा हूँ। यार किधर गया? Oh damn it, I missed the question because in the meeting was to like Morarji Desai was a prime example of, at least at that time, there was a lot of, you know, back and forth in the Congress party. And that was the birth of Congress I. Do you think there were any other attempts in the latter history of Congress to take Congress back? Pranab Mukherjee try it, or did P. Chidambaram try it, or anybody else in your research? Did you find that out?
Abhina, the G23 letter that was written a few years ago saying that the whole organizational shakeup should happen and everything, all the voting, all the posts upar se leke niche tak should be filled democratically, without influence of the Gandhi Nehru family. This was a very serious attempt by the 23 leaders of the Congress, 23 senior leaders of the Congress, to wrest the party back from the Nehru Gandhi family control.
Okay, this question, this was asked, I finally found the question. Somebody has said, in your research on Jawaharlal Nehru, what did you like about Jawaharlal Nehru? Itni band bajayi hai Jawaharlal Nehru ki.
What did I like about Jawaharlal Nehru? I think he was unapologetic romantic. Agar rajneeti nahi karte aur kavitaye likhte.
Sorry, this is so funny. Tum ko shayar o shayar. Yaar priya, ye to shayar acha hai. Isko oh my god. Priyam is like, shayari to achhi kar leta hai.
Roz, unke patience tha na, roz raat ko 2 baje letter likhe ka, in bhi na ko.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I apologize to everybody who's going to watch this or listen to this, but I can't control my laughter because how the hell रात को लेटर अच्छा लिखते बस प्रधानमंत्री
समथिंग दैट आई लाइक सो
बट ऑन अ वेरी सीरियस नोट इन योर रिसर्च आई होप यू डिड नॉट हैव टू गो थ्रू दोस लेटर्स ऑल्सो
थैंक गॉड No, thank God for that. That would have been cringe pro max.
Oh my God. Oh man, it's crazy. Chalo, before we wrap up, Priyam, so two-part question. First, what was the most rewarding aspect of researching for this book? That is question one. And then what is up next now, after this book?
So the most rewarding aspect of this is that aise bahut si jaise maine pehle confess kiya ki I am not a historian, so I would read current affairs issues in the news or listen to it in the news, and mujhe na itna context nahi pata hota tha, you know. I would just know the basic information about a certain issue that was being talked about in the news, and I would just make an opinion on that. लेकिन ये लिखने के बाद और ये सब रिसर्च करने के बाद, एंड आई एम होपिंग द रीडर्स विल आल्सो फाइंड दिस हेल्पफुल, दैट व्हेन वी रीड से न्यूज अबाउट चाइना अरुणाचल में कुछ क्लेम कर रहा है, या फिर यू नो पीओके के बारे में कुछ बातें चल रही है, या एटसेट्रा एटसेट्रा, सो आई फील दैट एटलीस्ट दिस गिव्स लाइक अ शॉर्ट कॉन्टेक्स्ट ऑफ सम ऑफ दोज इश्यूज दैट आर स्टिल इन डिस्कशन. ये खालिस्तानी बाकी बाहर लोगों को क्यों अटैक कर रहे हैं हमारे देश के you know, foreign service officials, etc., etc. So this book at least is, I feel, successfully gives a nice short context, enough that you need to know when you read these current affairs items in the news today. Yeah. And what next? Ab to matlab election ke baad thoda political writing se break lungi. Aur I think my fifth book that I'm planning to write is a religious book. So,
good.
I pitched it to my publisher, to much to their shock.
That's interesting, because you've consistently written about either economics or politics or policy. You've pretty much stuck to that. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I look forward to it, Priyam.
Thank you. So I realized that, you know, there's not enough information about the history and the stories around Devi worship. And I think I want to write on that.
Nice. I look forward to reading it, Priyam. It was an absolute pleasure to read your book. I had a great time. And I wish you nothing but success. And next time, hopefully, we'll do it in person. I know we wanted to do it in person, the recording of this podcast, but we could not because of scheduling issues. But next time, we'll try to do the podcast in person. And keep writing. Don't stop writing books, and don't stop the at which you write books also. And I wish you nothing but the best. And once again, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Kushal, for having me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, we'll wrap it up. But before we wrap up the podcast, once again, I want to remind all of you, in the description of the podcast, there are links to Priyam's X handle or Twitter handle. Also, there is a link to buy the book. So if you are interested, do go click on the link and buy the book. It's a wonderful read. You will get to know many things that in a lot of times in pop culture-ish political history, we don't know. So you will get to know the journey of India, because she starts pre-partition and then comes to the current day India and the decisions and of the Congress. It's very interesting because my mother used to be a Congress voter, and then she's flipped in the last 2 decades to be a BJP voter. And I've seen the change in my mother. I still have my uncle who's a Congress voter. I have my father's, one of my father's best friends is a Congress voter. And I am not someone who is opposed to the idea of being friends with people. At the same time, I do believe that the deeds of the Congress need to be read and studied as a political student. Because if you do that, and this book does a great job of collating a lot of incidents in our history, when you do that, you'll realize. So do buy this book. It's a very easy, fun read. And as far as I'm concerned, if you can support the Charvak podcast, because the aim of this podcast is try to encourage authors more. That is one of the central themes of this podcast, which is why every month we have at least 2 to 3 discussions on books, or sometimes even more than 3. I will consistently pursue this journey of talking to authors, reading books, is because until you don't read, you don't learn. वो 10 मिनट के वीडियो में आपको कुछ नहीं मिलेगा, पॉडकास्ट में भी उससे ज्यादा मिलेगा, मगर बुक जितना नहीं मिलेगा, विच इज व्हाई आई ऑलवेज से कीप रीडिंग बुक्स. सो इफ यू कैन सपोर्ट दिस पॉडकास्ट, डू जॉइन द मेंबरशिप प्रोग्राम ऑफ दिस पॉडकास्ट, और जस्ट लाइक द वीडियो, सब्सक्राइब टू द चैनल, एंड इफ यू आर एन ऑडियो लिसनर, जस्ट लीव अ रेटिंग. आई विल सी यू गाइस नेक्स्ट टाइम. अंटिल देन, नमस्ते, टेक केयर, बाय बाय.